Let's pray that God would help us to pray. Let's pray that God would grant us a deeper ability to seek his face in prayer. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, we ask that you grant us a deepening of our faith, a deepening of our ability to see Christ, to live out the life of Christ in our life, and specifically in our life of prayer. Lord God, we need your help to open the eyes of our heart so that we can connect with you through prayer, so that we can be praying all the time, so that we can be looking at life from your perspective and walking that life out by faith. Oh God, we pray this in Jesus' name. We can do nothing without you. We can't pray without you. We can't live without you. We need your help. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The outlines are in the back. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 18. This will be our last section in Ephesians before the sharing time next week. Ephesians 6:18. We read these verses. We read this word. Praying always. Praying always. The admonition to be always praying. Now, as you read the book of Ephesians last week, Mark did a great job in preaching the full armor of God. This praying always comes after that passage. And as you can see, praying, there's a participle there. It's syntactically connected to the previous section, putting on the full armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So coming out of that section, an essential part of spiritual warfare is praying. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. And the way in which you stand in the evil day is to be praying, is to pray like crazy, is to pray without ceasing, is to be in prayer. Mark used an analogy of a fireman, well, himself, going into a fire without being properly outfitted. I think Mark forgot to connect the hose to his mask. Was that what it was, Mark? He forgot to connect the hose to his mask. And he ran in the fire. Right? That's you without prayer. You're running through life. And you're like. Smoke's filling. Bombs are going off. Fire's spurting around, right? And you're like. Can't breathe. Connect the air hose. Prayer is the air hose. Prayer is the air hose that enables you to go through the battle, go through the smoke, through the pain and the pressure, connected to God. According to the National Fire Protection Agency, more fire deaths are as a result of smoke inhalation than burns. I found that to be interesting. So the house fire's going off and more people are dying from the smoke than from the fire. The National Fire Protection Agency says this is happening every 20 seconds in America. Fire is going off every 20 seconds. So there's a lot of fires going on. Fire experts find that most fires occur in a person's home or vehicle, and they generally involve two victims in their home, in their car, in their own surrounding, in their own familiar context, in their own life. These victims die. Why is it so difficult for people to escape a fire in their own home? Even though they know the layout well, and there's usually multiple ways of getting out of the house, there's multiple routes of escape. One reason cited is that because the smoke gets so dense that the occupants become disoriented, and they die in their own home from the smoke. Why are so many today so disoriented in their lives, in their own homes, in their own cars, in their own vehicles, in the very context of their own life? Why are so many disoriented in their very own life? They're not connecting the air hose. They're not praying. We are not praying. And so when the spiritual warfare comes, when the evil day comes, we're not connected to God. I can't breathe. And we run out. We run away from the battle. We try to run. We try to hide. We try to distract ourselves. We try to go back, and we get disoriented. And we forget to pray. Why do so many fall away? Why are we living in such a great apostasy? It's because people are not praying. Because we are not praying. That's why. Jonathan Edwards said, "Prayer is as natural an expression of faith as breathing is of life." Prayer is as natural an expression of faith as breathing is of life. Now, you can all hear me breathing because this mic doesn't have a windsock on it. I require a windsock on my mic. So you're going to hear me breathe, okay? And your reason you're hearing me breathe is because I'm alive. The minute I stop breathing, you're going to see physical changes happening to me. People that are alive breathe. People that are alive spiritually pray. People that have faith pray. When you have faith in God, you pray. That's what faith does. Faith trusts in God. Faith receives the knowledge of God's word. Faith believes that knowledge, and faith trusts that knowledge. And when you trust in the knowledge of God, it humbles you and it puts you in a place of connection and communion with God. Faith always prays. So, Christian, you need to pray. Christian, your soul needs prayer, like your body needs oxygen. Try holding your breath. How long can you go? Try it. Your body starts like, it's fine at first, right? We got this. There's a little moment there. But you guys are going to start dropping over here. Don't do that. You keep holding your breath. Your body just, right? It's like, okay, take a breath, 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 right? That's in our the soul, when we're born again, your soul is the same way. Connect with God. Connect with God, 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 come on. And then you start sensing that. But if you don't pray, it does start to dissipate. you do start to get used to it. And you start having other symptoms, like dying. So Paul says, because there's a battle going on, you guys need to pray always. You need to always be praying. Like, always be praying. Like, there's never a time in your life when your spirit is not to be connected to God in some manner of prayer. Pray always. Martin Luther said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Let's consider the text. Ephesians 6, 18. Dia passe prosukumes. Through all prayer. Literally. The always is a little bit further in the Greek sentence. But we start out with through all prayer. So through all prayer, prayer here is the prosukumai, is the general word for prayer. It refers to a place of faith and submission. Prosukumai has in it the word prostrate. Remember when you worship, you bow down and serve him. You bow down before God in an act of submission and exaltation to God and his glory. So prosukumai is to bow down in submission to God, yielding before him. So as we pray, we bow down our hearts and our minds and our souls and our bodies. We humble ourselves. We come before God in contrition, in openness, in brokenness, in faith. So through all prayer, and through supplication, we're having a variety of experiences in prayer. The way to pray now is this general attitude, through all prayer and through supplication. So there's going to be a variety of words used here to break out how to pray all the time. And the way in which you pray all the time is through all kinds of prayers, like prayer in general, and then through supplication, a little more specific. So your prayer life is going to have to involve all kinds of prayers, because you have all kinds of situations that you need to pray through. Now, here is the key that will unlock the oxygen tank of prayer for you. And it's this. Your prayer life is to correspond to the terrain in your life. So your prayer life should match your life. Now the key is faith. But faith is going to express itself by connecting everything in your life to God. So the terrain in your life needs to connect to your prayer life. So let's go back to the oxygen example. Sitting here, what's your pulse at, Mark? What's your pulse at? 60, right? Something like that, 65, right? Let's go out and climb the hill. Let's go out and climb the mountain. 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. It starts pumping. The blood starts going, bum, 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 right? Because the terrain changes. So as you climb a mountain, as you work hard, you guys, you're taking your pulse, right? You're moving now. You're playing frisbee out there. You're climbing a mountain. Man, now you have a greater need for the oxygen to go to the cells in your body. So what does your body do? It increases the blood flow. Your pulse gets higher. In other words, your body responds to the terrain by increasing the pulse. You don't have to think about that, do you? It just happens. You start breathing harder. That's the key to prayer. When you're resting in the Lord and rejoicing in him, when you're on vacation, you're praying with all kinds of prayer and supplication. When you're in the heat of the battle and the enemy is bearing down on you, you're praying, God, help me. God, save me. all kinds of prayer, all kinds of supplication. When you're somewhere in between those two, your life, the terrain of your life, is the context of your prayer. And your prayer should reflect your life. Consider the Psalms. I mean, the psalmists are always reflecting upon their life, aren't they? They're always reflecting upon how they are working through various situations before God. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Can the law save you? No. What does the law do? The law is the standard. The law can't save you. The law can condemn you. The law can point out your problems. The law can say what is right and wrong, but the law cannot save you. Your flesh cannot save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. He died on the sin to save you. He rose again from the dead. He is the one who saves you. And when your faith and your hope are in Him, the Holy Spirit, that's the working of the Spirit. That's the spiritual life that God gives. And He will lead you so that you're not fulfilling the lusts of your flesh. This is not according to the law of God. This is the work of grace. Just so you're clear on what Paul is saying, he makes it crystal clear in the fruit of this. The root is faith. That's the Spirit's work, regeneration and sanctification. The fruit of this is the text. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentious, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I told you before, and just as I told you in time past, that those who practice those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So when my heart is not being led by the Spirit and my pride is there, guess what comes out of my heart? Nothing good. Same thing that comes out of your heart. And that evidences itself. What do I need? Humble myself. Faith in God. Because as you connect to God through prayer, the fruit of the Spirit is also evident. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. The law does not produce this. The Holy Spirit produces this. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Our sin was nailed on the cross. Bam! Done. Consider yourself dead to sin, alive to God. That's the power of faith. That's the power of the resurrection. And when you believe the gospel, when you're identified with Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and He'll lead you into the knowledge of Christ, that your flesh is crucified with its passions and desires so that we can live in the Spirit. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Pray. Always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And as you're praying in the Spirit, you're led by the Spirit. And as you're led by the Spirit, we know what the Holy Spirit does. He helps us in our weaknesses. So as we're climbing up the mountain, when we're getting under attack, when we're going through trials, when we don't know what to do, when we have a difficult situation, we have a difficult boss, maybe brothers and sisters here, maybe you have a difficult sibling, maybe you have a sibling that is just giving you a hard time. Do you ever have a sibling that gives you a hard time? Yeah. He helps us in our weaknesses. Romans 8:26. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which can't be uttered. Now He who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. So the Spirit of God is praying the will of God for the saints of God. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. So as we're praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit ministering to our spirit helps us walk out and process and get to the point where we are accepting and praying God's will. Isn't that beautiful? That's how you know you're praying in the Spirit. Because you're led by the Spirit, not the flesh. It's by faith, the choice you make to trust in Him. The spiritual work that the Spirit does is He helps us to discern the will of God so that we know God's will, so that we can do God's will, so that we can then rejoice and reflect upon our obedience to God that is by faith. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. So as we go through all of life and all the terrain of life and all the ups and downs of life, as we're praying, this is the spiritual awakening that only happens while you pray. While you pray, while you're going through life, Jesus says, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now listen, you Gentiles, you seek the wrong thing. Your Heavenly Father knows you have need of all this. You seek the wrong thing. You seek, what are we going to eat? Where are we going to live? What are we going to do? How are we going to make it? How? Matthew 6, Jesus says, these are all the things that Gentiles seek. But what does He say? You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Your Heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. Consider the lilies of the field. Consider the birds. Consider how the Lord cares for you. You are free in all these things, all these anxieties. Don't be like the Gentiles. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Go into your inner room and ask your Heavenly Father, and He sees your needs, and He will reward you openly in His time, in His way, in His providence, and by your faith. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Matthew 7, 7 to 10. This all comes through prayer. 1 John 5:14 is a great passage. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So the key here is praying the will of God. So much of prayer is coming to the place of asking and seeking and wrestling and crying out with God, to coming to the knowledge of God's will in the context of your life, given the terrain of your life, so that you know the will of God for your life. I'm talking now the specific will of God of what you're going to be doing. And then you do it. When you have that faith, then you know that you have His will. Pray always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And the Spirit will take you and lead you through this process of prayer in all of your life. And the result is faith, is a confidence to know and to do God's will. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a beautiful thing. This is what God is calling us to. You say, so well, what does that look like? I pray for all of you often. Pray for all of you often. I pray for the church often. I pray God's blessing on you. And I see the Lord's hand moving and reconciling and guiding and directing. So one way I would answer that question, what does that look like for me in my prayer life? It's I'm praying for you. So that's a big one in my life. But here's another one. About 2 months ago, I took my car to the mechanic and can't be fixed. It still runs, just takes a lot of oil. So I just begin praying for a car, praying for a car. And when my sister-in-law was here, she's like, hey, I'm selling my car. Oh, great. Can we buy it? Sure, here. So to me, that's an answer to prayer. It's hard to find a good car like that at a good price that we could afford, that we're going to get when we go to Pennsylvania, Lord willing. That's an answer to prayer. There's things like spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. Every morning I engage in spiritual warfare prayer. And the first person I have to do war against is Jason Young. Jason Young has to die every day. And Jason Young needs to die quickly, or he could get out. And that could be dangerous. There's days that I don't have my morning prayer time, and I botched it pretty bad with my family. They've seen that. Sorry, guys, I didn't pray this morning. Forget the coffee, I need prayer, okay? It's that serious. So my dad said, you know, I was a fan of Star Wars, and that's true. I was. But what happened? I began to pray. I began to be convicted. I began to take God's word and apply it to my life. And from that time, in my 20s, the Lord just started peeling back things and showing me things. That's a pagan idolatry. That's a pagan worldview in Star Wars. You get that through prayer. Now, I know you guys don't always like me talking about that kind of stuff. It's through prayer. I'm pressing the prayer. If you're not praying, you're going to be like, Jason, you're just out there. Let me tell you this. One time I was in a ditch. I was in a 15-foot deep ditch that we are digging by hand in the middle of Ukraine. I kid you not. We weren't allowed to spend the $20 to get the big shovel and ask them to do it because they didn't do it that way in the Ukraine. We had to do it by hand. I'm like, can't we just pay $20 and have them do it? We had the money, right? We are Americans. No, you have to do it by hand. We would use the money for other things. Okay. Bunch of college kids. It was a college trip. It was 1993. And the Lord just convicted me of my worldliness. And it wouldn't leave. And I invited it in. Lord, convict me. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and I was the lust of my eyes, the pride of life, and the Lord, through prayer, changes me. He changed me. So the things I used to love, I don't love them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Why? Prayer. I can't give you those convictions, but I sure can encourage you to pray. Because if you don't get it from God, you're not going to get it. You might wear my convictions for a year, but then you're going to say, oh, these are stupid. That's not my point. My point is to get you to think, and my point is to encourage you to pray, like Paul's doing. Pray, because there is a true spiritual battle out there. And God prepares his people to go through the trials that he has for you. If you pray, you'll be prepared and you'll make it. If you don't pray, you will not make it. I remember before Alex had his accident, when he was a wee little boy, an amazing prayer time. God just opened up the heaven and just encouraged my heart. Next couple hours, just, and then Alex came down. My mom brought Alex down on a board. I didn't know if he's going to live or die. That's what my life has been like. But God always gives me times to pray. He always gives me time to prepare. And there's always a spiritual battle. I've been out praying. You know, God saved me from pornography. I've been out in the desert praying. And pornographic material would just be out there in the desert, in the middle of nowhere. It's like, this is serious battle. And I take it and, you know, destroy it, bury it, tell my wife. I mean, this is where you fight the devil. Like, you pray to fight the devil. You have to pray. If you're not praying, you're just going to get swept away. You can't do it without prayer. Prayer for holiness, prayer for righteousness, prayer for repentance, prayer for humility, all kinds of prayer, prayers of confession. You've got to be praying like crazy. If you're not praying like crazy, what do you think is happening in America? How is all this apostasy going on? What is wrong with these people? They're not praying. They're not believing. They're not following Christ. They're full of themselves. They're full of pride. Sure, they can make a good confession on a Sunday morning, and they can do, or Sunday afternoon, and they can do things like that look Christian. But if you're not a praying person, if you're not increasingly giving yourself to prayer, if your prayer life is not matching the situation in your life, eventually that's going to come out. Eventually the pressure is going to become so great, crack. And when you crack and you pray, you're going to be okay. Because God is very merciful and God is very gracious. That's what he's trying to get you to do. But if you don't pray, you will fall away. Listen, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. Isn't that what Paul's saying there? Being watchful to this end. Paul's saying, watch it. Watch it. You got to watch that you're praying constantly, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. To what end? To always be praying, because you're in a battle. You're in a situation where you be constantly praying, watchful to this end. Know what your enemy's doing. Your enemy has one goal. Get the oxygen plug and pull it. Get that oxygen hose and pull it. We have to stop God's people from praying. We have to stop them from reading the word of God. We have to stop them from praying, and we have to stop them from being part of the church. It's always Satan's plan. So we have to watch. We have to guard our hearts. We have to watch that we engage in prayer. Normal outside air has 21% oxygen. You're breathing fine. That's the prayer life. So you know if you have a good prayer life, it's like normal oxygen. You're connecting with God, not perfectly, by grace, but you're connecting with God, and you're orienting your life with God, and you're meditating on the Word, and you're praying. That's normal outside air, 21%. With a little smoke, it goes to 17%. A little smoke is 17%. The result of a little smoke, impaired judgment and coordination. So a little smoke brings that down to 17%. On your body, you start to have an impaired judgment. If that smoke intensifies and you don't connect the air hose, you go to 12%. At 12%, you have headaches, dizziness, nausea, and fatigue. Now you're in the danger zone. If that smoke keeps intensifying and you don't get that air hose connected quick, and that smoke and that fire sucks up that oxygen, and that oxygen goes down to 9%, that's where you become unconscious. When you're unconscious, now you're not responding. And that oxygen can get down to 6%. At 6% oxygen, respiratory arrest, cardiac arrest, and death. And that's exactly what I see in the church. Praying always, you're connected to God. Sometimes praying. I pray sometimes. That's an impaired judgment. That's 17% oxygen right there. I pray sometimes. And a lot of Christians live there. They pray sometimes. I pray sometimes. And your judgment's impaired. You just, your air hose is open just enough so you can like... But what happens is, with that impaired judgment and the battle intensifies, you drop to 12%. Now you're praying seldom. You're still praying at meals. But that's kind of about it. Headaches, dizziness, nausea, and fatigue. Do you have time to pray? Oh. No, I know I need to pray. I'm just too tired. Man, dude, you are full of smoke. Your house is burning down. You're full of smoke. I'm just so tired. I can't stay awake to pray. Where are you? Be watchful that this does not happen to you. Be watchful to this end with all perseverance. See the word perseverance there in the text? That word perseverance is not used very often in Greek at all. It's not the normal hupomeno. So I don't know how to pronounce it very well. I'll try to read it here. Proskertereo. I don't even know the word. It's a new word for me. But it has a fascinating meaning. This perseverance means to continually do something with the most intense effort. So be watchful as you are praying in all kinds of prayer always in your life. Be watchful because your enemy is trying to grab your air hose and pull it off and overwhelm you with the smoke of this world. As you're in this battle engaging, you have got to persevere by being focused with the most intense effort in keeping your heart and your mind connected to God through prayer. Well, let me ask you, what is something that you do with intense effort? What's something that you do with intense effort? What's one of the most intense things you do? Now think about that. On a scale of 1 to 10, where do you put that intensity in your life? On a scale of 1 to 10, the most intense thing you do in your life, an intense effort, on a scale of 1 to 10, where do you put that? Write it down. What's the number? So that's the activity. Now, how would you rate your prayer life? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not much, 10 being perseverance, with intense effort. Where's your prayer life? How much intense effort do you persevere in praying always? Be honest before God. What's your number? How do you rate yourself? And here's my prayer for you, that you would know how to answer this next question. What would it take for you to persevere in prayer? If you put down a 3, what would it take to move you from a 3 to a 4? A 4 to a 5? A 5 to a 6? A 7 to an 8 to a 9 to a 10? What would it take? Get the air hose, quick! Oh, I can see now. I can breathe. What would it take for you to stay connected to the air hose of prayer in your life and persevere in that prayer and not let it go? Come hell or high water, you don't let it go. That's my challenge to you. And for us, and for me, that we would all come together and pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. Same word again. God, I need help in this. Okay, that's the same word. That intense emotional crying out to God. I need help in this with all supplication. What's the last phrase here? For all the saints. Okay, now watch this. We're going to open up now. This passage opens up for all the saints. So this prayer life is for you in your life, right? But this prayer life is not just for you in your life. This prayer life is for you and for all the saints. It's for all the saints. So now we go to intercessory prayer. So we're to be praying like this for all the saints. We're to be praying like this for one another. I'm to be praying for you like I pray for me. I'm to be praying God's will in your life as I understand and I get to know you, as I traverse life with you. I know some of the things that you're facing. So now I am going before the throne of God and I'm praying. I'm crying out to God for you. And you're crying out to God for me. And we're lifting this up before the throne of God. And we're praying intercessory prayer for all the saints, being led by the Spirit of God. That's God's plan for His church. When we pray for one another, we can pray for the general prayer that we all know for all people, that we all need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. We all need to have a deepening of our identity in Christ. As Paul said in Ephesians, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Ephesians 1:15. That's for all saints. We all need to grow in that. So we can always be, even if you don't know the person, you can be praying that for them. This is prayer for all the saints. What does intercessory prayer look like in your life? What does it look like in your life? I pray for you. That's why I can love you. It's an amazing spiritual bond. We're to pray for one another. Here. In our life, in our fellowship, and for all the saints, for those in Cambodia, for those in China. Pray always in this manner. What specific prayer do you have in mind, Paul? Here's an example. 6:19 of Ephesians. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may boldly speak as I ought to speak. Paul says, pray for me that I preach the gospel. Pray for me that as I go through my life, I'm preaching the gospel. I'm making known the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel that is an offense to those who are rejecting it, but is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. Pray for me that utterance would be given to me, that I would make known the gospel with boldness. I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly. They already imprisoned him because he wouldn't shut up. Pray for me that I'd have the boldness to keep preaching the gospel, that unless you repent of your sins, you will die and you will be judged for your sin. Come to Christ. He's the only way of salvation. Preach that gospel. Preach the reason for your salvation. That's the law of God that does condemn you. Preach the answer to salvation, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only way of salvation. Preach the whole counsel of God, the mystery of God. Preach the word. Paul says, will you pray for me? And Paul ends by saying, hey guys, this is how I'm doing. As typical as Paul would be, he wasn't afraid to share the whole counsel of God, and he wasn't afraid to share his whole life. My life's an open book. Come, if you were a traveling companion of Paul, you would get to know Paul. So here he ends with this. He couldn't send them a text, so he sends them Tychicus. Tychicus in place of a text. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you. This is how I'm doing. Whom I sent to you for this purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.